Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Reiki Master and host Phyllis Lei Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And today, you might think that we are really deep into the essence part because we are in a series of interviews exploring mystic experience in Reiki. Is this a mystic order? What is a mystic order? What does it mean to be a mystic? And all these questions that are elusive and have many, many different answers. My grandmother might say that this is just simply fantasy because for her, Reiki was a very practical practice, and yet, on the other hand, she used to tell us many stories that, for me, were mystic experiences. So it just depends on our own point of reference. Today, I have with me a man from the Netherlands, Jo-Jan Jonker, and he and I have been in years of conversation about mystic order. And we actually have, in the future sometime, a workshop that we want to do together on mystic order, and perhaps we're just now preparing for this. When I asked him if he would do this radio interview, he said, "Do I know enough? Have I enough knowledge to provide the community in this way? Are these my fantasy, or is it my quality of being?" Well, we'll find out. Welcome, Jo-Jan.
Thank you, Phyllis. And that was a nice introduction.
Thank you. It's wonderful to have you on the show. And Jo-Jan has a special quality to be with this very, what we might call, elusive experience of mystic. Because he's actually going to school and, if we might call it, studying and researching mystic experience. But before we get to there, I'd like, Jo-Jan, to have you share about how you came to Reiki and, in your first years of Reiki.
Okay. I started with Reiki in 1994, and it was in a period that I was still working as a consultant in a software house in the ICT branch, and at that time I was working at a project with a lot of stress, and everything that could go wrong also went wrong, and I noticed that I did not have enough tools for myself to handle this stress, and so I had to do something. I had a colleague at that time who also started at 7 o'clock in the morning, just like me, and we were the first two who started then with work, and we had all kinds of spiritual conversations about all kinds of things, and he had Reiki. So there we sat, dressed, properly dressed, and at 7 o'clock in the morning with some coffee, speaking about all kinds of spirituality, and he mentioned that Reiki might be something for me, and he told something that about energy, and he told something about that it was also possible to do it on a distance, and I thought, well, yes, sure, of course. And but nevertheless, there was something in me, some kind of an inner voice, intuition, that said, well, let's try it. And so I came for an information gathering at Carina Verhoeven's place. Mm-hmm. She became also my Reiki master. And although there were a few people who gave little treatments to people who wanted, I could already sense the energy in the air. So I thought, hey, this is something. And so that was the day that I received my first treatment. And it was amazing, already at that moment. And I couldn't give it a place or describe it. First I thought, am I falling in love at the person who was giving me Reiki?
Well, great question.
Yeah, well, I think, well, that happens all the time, so maybe that's not Reiki as itself, so it has to be something else. So I followed my class, and during the Reiki 1 class, I already knew that I would become a Reiki master. I sensed that this is my next step in life. That was so there was not a question from if, but only a question from when. And in those days, there was some kind of a time and timing rule that that you had to be 3 years a practitioner of Reiki before you could become a Reiki master. So we kept this 3 years, and in January 98, I became a Reiki master.
Mm-hmm.
And it couldn't be done sooner.
In other words, it might have been too late.
Well, I had 3 years Reiki, and I think it was 2.5 years too late. But nevertheless, that's how things go.
Uh-huh.
And it was a good time to be in at Corina's place for my education as a Reiki master. I could, I learned a lot. It is definitely true. And also, I experienced all kinds of things, and it took some time before I could give it a place.
Mm-hmm.
And further along the road, it was in during the conference of the Reiki Alliance in Chile.
Mm-hmm.
It was 2004, if I recall it properly.
Well, you're better at it than I, but it seems like it was longer ago than that.
Longer ago?
But anyway, say 2004.
Oh, whatever. And personally, I had finished some karma stuff, and there was and this was finished in Chile. So in itself, it was a very special conference for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the night after that happened, I told to my roommate that she shouldn't be surprised if I didn't wake up that morning. The next morning, because I had really the feeling that it was finished, it was done, it was ready. So, but the next morning, I woke up. What a surprise that was! Hey, I'm still here, and I understood that well. A new chapter can be started, and that was the day that you had some speech for us with a reasonable amount of energy put in it. To say the least. And that was a starting point for me. Because what I recall from that speech is that you said that you wish that in being together we should more use the power of being together, of the amount of energy, something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was for me a starting point. So I started from what are we doing in a spiritual way, and that brought me to the question: what is spirituality,
mm-hmm.
and also what is mystic? And
mm-hmm.
those two words were came in my mind,
mm-hmm.
because you had at that time defined four aspects, and Reiki is spiritual discipline, and Reiki is mystic order, and for me I had a question: okay. If so, but what is spirituality and what is mystic? And related to that, from what is belief,
mm-hmm.
and what is religion?
Mm-hmm.
So in effect, I had four questions at that moment. To make it easy.
Good questions.
Good questions.
Good questions.
And those four questions were divided then in three layers. I discovered. I wanted to approach these questions in general. What is
uh-huh.
spirituality in general? One layer deeper is what is then the Reiki spirituality, so related to Reiki. And a third layer is what is it for me? So that made it four questions and three layers, so then I had 12 questions. Right. And I want to do it in one lifetime, and I am already 51, so no time to waste.
Okay, great logical thinking. What's next?
Great logical. Yeah, well, good connection between my left and right hemisphere.
Totally.
And then during the conferences in Denmark, and I thought it was 2005, or anyway, it was a year after Chile. I was able to organize a little workshop about mystic order. And in that group, there were something like 12 or 15 Reiki masters. And at that time, I was 7 years Reiki master. And there was one person who had less years of Reiki mastery, and the rest was way beyond 15 and 20 years Reiki. So at a point, I thought, what am I doing here, thinking that I can... But anyway, I realized that it wasn't me that was telling something, but I only initiated it so that we could come together. That was the point. And at some point, we realized, without speaking, that we reached the point that it was there. And we didn't have to speak. We could just sense it and see it. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was some kind of a mystic experience, definitely. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, the questions remained also after that experience from what is spirituality and mystic. And that's... So in 2006, 2007, I thought I had to read a book or something like that. But then I saw a flyer of the University of Nijmegen, and that they had started a few years earlier with a study of spirituality, and in the Netherlands that is new. So I went to Nijmegen to find out why does it exist and what is their motivation for it. Why did they start it? They told me that spirituality has always been a subject within the field of theology, and later on from philosophy, and even later on from psychology, and even more academic fields. And but it was always then approached... there we go.
Keep going.
Okay, so it was always approached from that specific area.
Uh-huh.
And they thought it was time to see it as a phenomena in itself.
Wow. Now that's great. This is a good place to stop. So we'll be back with Yoyan's story and great insight from the university after this station break. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Tune into Inner Speak Soul Adventures Talk Radio Show every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern, and learn how to let go of your past and create the reality you desire and deserve, allowing your inner communication to take place more easily without the interference of our noisy mind chatter or your ego. Inner Speak Soul Adventures with Gene Adrian, right here on the 7th Wave Network.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life, whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office. Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing, broadcast each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 7th Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street. But with free family learning programs, you can get the education you need. Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 for information on free learning programs. 1-877-FAMLIT1.
Check it out. Ooh, your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Today I have with me from the Netherlands, Jo-Jan Jonker. And he and I have been in deep into this conversation about mystic experience, mystic order in Reiki for many years. Before we signed off on station break, Jo-Jan was just describing finding this program in Nijmegen and that they were wanting to address spirituality without the other topics, without the context of other topics like philosophy and psychology and theology. So can you say a little bit more about that, Jo-Jan?
Yes. It is precisely as you said that during ages or centuries even, mm-hmm. spirituality is always approached from a certain context such as philosophy or theology. But because it's now so widespread, it has become a phenomena in itself. So in Nijmegen, they thought it was time to give it its own place and to make, and that ended up in, of course, then a study of spirituality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So now we can always also look the other way around, that is, from spirituality to philosophy or to psychology or whatsoever, so the other way around.
Right.
And the second reason why they started this study, and that's what I also liked, is that, of what I appreciated is better, is that in Holland we have a community and a history of Christendom. That's our culture. But more and more we are evolving into a multicultural community,
mm-hmm.
society. But with that, we are also going forward into a multi-religion society.
Ah, right.
And in Nijmegen, they think that the best way to integrate new cultures, including new religions, in the existing Dutch society, is to understand what they are talking about. And there was a resonance in me, because in our Reiki community, everybody is practicing Reiki, but nevertheless we come from a different culture, in
right.
a way. And so it resonated in me. So this was the start for this study. And where did it bring me at this moment? Well, I started with the subject of spirituality in itself, and to try to give some kind of a definition for myself, and that is a general definition, and to see if I could recognize myself in it, and after that, in the second place, can I recognize Reiki in it?
Mm-hmm.
And my fellow Dutch Reiki master allowed me to share this general definition of spirituality during the Dutch Master Gathering. And it was, for me, it was very exciting, but I think it was also exciting for them because, personally, I have already for a long time the feeling that spirituality was used for all kinds of things, and it had become as I call it, a container word. It is a word that contains all kinds of things. And sometimes I had the feeling that we had reached the point that if we should turn out the light and light on a candle, that then that was a spiritual practice. And I thought, well, is that spirituality? So that was also a reason. And with my Dutch master, with my Dutch colleague Reiki masters, we started to try to find out if there is some consensus in our practice that we could recognize as being the spirituality of Reiki. And that is not so easy.
That's great. So, listen, I just want to come back, and I suppose you'll get to this eventually, but I'm getting a little impatient. I'd love to know what your general definition of spirituality is.
My general definition of spirituality?
Yeah.
Okay. The short
If you're willing to say it now.
I'm willing to say it now.
Okay, good.
The short definition, it's my description is maybe better than definition.
Okay.
The short definition, the description of spirituality for me is that it is a certain way of life that expresses the essence of life as presented by the specific spirituality.
Could you do that again? A certain way of life.
It's a certain way of life where the essence of life is presented by as the spirituality itself proclaims. And I think that spirituality is emerged from, is shaped by, and is fed by a dynamic complex of experiences, visions, and convictions. And that is what it is, in short, of course. And
I'm interested in the word vision.
Visions. Well, if we go one level deeper into this description of spirituality, I think that there is a that we all have a fundamental attitude towards daily life.
Mm-hmm.
A fundamental attitude how we deal with the things that go on in life, and that is mm-hmm. daily life, but also questions like love and hate,
mm-hmm.
Life and death. The seeking for the meaning of life, but also one's place in the cosmos and
mm-hmm.
how somebody thinks about itself.
Mm-hmm.
And this fundamental attitude is influenced, and that together makes the what I call the complex of experience, visions, and convictions by the self, by the culture and the time where it all happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's fed by fundamental inspiration, and there's where the visions come. So that mm-hmm. I come back to your question. Mm-hmm. And the fourth is the practice of the spirituality. And to come to your question, the fundamental inspiration, for me, that is those things that inspires me or that inspires a person. So it's that can be persons like Jesus or Buddha or whoever,
mm-hmm.
but it can also be some religions like the Islam or the Christianity or a philosophy like Buddhism. But it can also be something else like the welfare of animals or nature or the environment.
Uh huh.
And or a combination of all kinds of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like about this definition, this description, which is, by the way, not made it by myself. This is how it's presented during the classes. And
so this comes from your study at the university.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
And but what I like about this description. Is that it can also be used for non-religious spiritualities.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Such as the spirituality of feminism,
uh-huh.
or liberation spirituality that is that there is more in America, for instance, from the black community.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's I like that because that gives the possibility to place the Reiki spirituality in a non-religion or in a religion mm-hmm. department, so to
mm-hmm.
say.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives some freedom
mm-hmm.
in a way,
mm-hmm.
freedom of thinking.
Well, I think that for me, it takes it out of, as you said, the sort of traditional context, like a religion or like a philosophy or like a theology, a theological precept, and allows spirituality to become a function of being human rather than a function of an institution or a function of a way of thinking. Would you
exactly.
say that is true?
That is true. And that is because during the last decades there has been a change in thinking. That is that for a long time that the point of view was that spirituality belonged in a religion or
mm-hmm.
something like that.
Mm-hmm. And actually that was the only way to get there.
That was the only way to get there. And now they are turning it around.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a spirituality and it can belong to a religion.
Well, I think this is congruent with our experience in Reiki, although I noticed that you had a little question about this religion and Reiki, so we'll get back to that. But, you know, the very interesting thing for me is that this university has taken a great step outside of the bounds of normal, of kind of contextual thinking into creating something new, and I think that is an amazing, opens up an amazing possibility for people.
Yes.
Yeah, so great. And great that you're a part of this program.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's really a gift of life.
Yeah.
For me.
Wonderful. So let's get back to this little kind of PS about Reiki and is it a religion?
Well, that's an interesting question.
Yes.
You can approach from the layer in general and from the layer from the Reiki perspective or
uh-huh.
from the layer of the individual. And for myself, I have not quite made up whether or not it is a religion.
Uh-huh.
So that is from the inner perspective. If I watch the Reiki community from an outer perspective as an observer, and I hear how they talk about Reiki, then question marks arise at me.
Uh-huh.
I give an example. For what I hear often, and this also a sentence that I use as an example for my colleague Reiki masters, is that I often hear saying, Reiki does the best. Does the best for the person who receives it,
uh-huh.
something like that. And then I say, and I must admit that I use that phrase or something like that also often in classes. But due to this study, I also I'm thinking, what am I saying? Really?
Yeah, so what are you saying?
What am I saying? When I say Reiki does the best, then I say Reiki does something. Oh? Does Reiki something? Then what is Reiki? Is it a passive energy or is it an active entity
uh-huh.
who is getting involved in something?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And then Reiki does the best. Oh? Then Reiki has also the quality to know what is the best.
Well, perhaps. We'll be back with that very provocative thought after this station break. This is Phyllis Muramoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Be extraordinary.
Hello.
Seventh Wave
Network. We have the March of Dimes 2008 National Ambassador family. Although Catherine was born extremely premature with many challenges, today she is a healthy five-year-old thanks to the March of Dimes.
I'm Don Germano, Senior Vice President of Kmart Stores. Kmart is proud to support March of Dimes' mission to help moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Please make a donation at any Kmart or at marchforbabies.org so that one day all babies are born healthy.
Carrie O'Connor has a powerful and extraordinary connection with spirit. This connection has honed and perfected her astounding clairvoyant abilities. Carrie can energetically view your personal life history, observe your true inner processes, and help attune and direct your soul's purpose. Carrie's dedicated mission is to remind you of your divine heritage, to help you step out of your stories and step into your power. Tune in to The Carrie O'Connor Show every Thursday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific on the Seventh Wave Network.
I can take care of myself. I can make a peanut butter sandwich. I can brush my teeth and I can give myself a bath. I can walk home alone from school. I can pick dinner from the trash behind the deli. I can watch the baby for the whole weekend. I can keep a baseball bat by my bed just in case there's trouble. Don't worry about me. I can take care of myself.
If you're in jail, who'll be there to take care of your family? Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, and with Julian Yonker, who is stimulating my brain and my thought patterns enormously, which is really fun. Where did we
where did we end?
With about is Reiki a religion? That was the question. And you were speaking to this.
Yeah. And to be even more precise, is what is it that we believe in Reiki? And after that comes the question from then, is Reiki a religion? Because I think that religion itself is more the structure around it, around a belief system,
uh-huh.
and not the believing in itself. So
uh-huh.
And we left at the place, okay, what do we believe that Reiki is or does?
Uh-huh.
And that was where I left the show before the break. So when I observe the Reiki community in their speech, in how they talk about how they talk about Reiki, then I have my questions, Mark.
Right. It brings out the best of me, for instance.
It brings out the best of me.
Yeah, people say it brings out the best in me, or that was really, I didn't agree with it, but I found out later that that was really the best thing that could happen to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, stuff like
and
that. Yeah.
Stuff like, but that is even more on the side of the person itself.
Right.
But if we are talking about sentences where Reiki is used,
mm-hmm.
if what Reiki does or does not, or if we say from Reiki does whatever is the best for you, then we are saying something about Reiki. Reiki is doing the best. Then we assume, inexplicitly, that Reiki has some kind of knowledge of knowing what is the best.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And then it becomes interesting. So then it's not a passive energy anymore, and it is an active, or at least an active energy, or, and that is then my next question, or is it an active entity?
Oh.
And then that is where we are on the edge of the belief system.
Uh-huh. And for me, it's like, one of the things that's fascinating for me is this, if Reiki brings out the best in us, then what is that really? Is that just simply the apex of natural progression without interference, which is my belief? Or is it something that actually is intellectually chosen? And that's the difference, I think, between energy and entity. Am I correct? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think you can see it this way, yes.
Yeah. So I believe that it's not an entity, but this is just my belief. I could change tomorrow after this program. That it's not an entity, because intellectualism, for me, is a human quality that I don't see in... I don't see that as an attribute particularly, but I see it as a characteristic. So for me, the you know, what happens to us, like how an oak tree grows, you know, in relationship to how a pine tree grows, they're very different shaped trees. Well,
yeah.
You know, because of the nature of the tree, what it's supposed to reproduce, and how it's supposed to serve its natural community, the shape, the form, the way it propagates, and everything is absolutely perfect. And for me, that is not about an intellectual decision. That's about nature being its best without interference.
And in that, you have already a picture of what the natural thing of nature is.
Well, I only observe it. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't decide it. That's my thing.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I think that's you know, we could get off into some very distractive discussion about how humans distract or destroy this particular process, but we won't go there.
Okay.
So what?
Another radio show.
Yeah, well, you know, we don't have hours and hours, so maybe later. what I'd like to do now is to move from spirituality to mysticism, and how do you see these two related? Because I assume you see them related. Is that true?
There can be a relation between it.
And but do you feel like you have to... like hold one as real in order to hold the other one? Like
well,
see them as
from the
progressive?
Yeah, from the perspective of mysticism,
mm-hmm.
If you look at the literature, it happens almost never. It's a very rare occasion when a person experiences a mystic experience without already walking some kind of a spiritual or a mystic
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a difference between a mystic path and a mystic experience.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
The mystic path in itself is not a guarantee that there will be a mystic experience.
No.
That is... now I'm talking in general.
That's fine. I'm interested.
Yeah, and that's when we go into the level of Reiki, then again it's a question from is that general perspective also true for Reiki? That's another question.
Mm-hmm.
And then also that has to do with the definition of a mystic experience. As I mentioned before the break, that I have the idea that spirituality is used as a container word. Is that an English expression?
It's a great expression. I've never heard it, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. But
now,
I understand exactly what you mean.
Yeah. Well,
it
exists
just
now.
It's just like a waste paper basket that people throw things into.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I have the same feeling with mystic experience, that the word mystic experience is quite often used. And then I ask by myself, is that a mystic experience in the true definition of the word?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there is some kind of scale
mm-hmm.
from feeling normal to feeling good, to have a nice experience, to have to be in ecstasy, and then at the last to have a mystic experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's are differences between those things, I think, mm-hmm. personally.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, what is, your question was, what is a mystic experience?
How would you describe a mystic experience? Because I noticed that you kind of step aside from the word definition, which I understand, and we go into describe, which is fine.
Yeah. For me, a mystic, a mystic experience has to do with three things. It has to do with yourself as a person.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with the what on the other side that is experienced, and then there's the verb of experience itself. How do we do that? And what I see is that one of the characteristics of a mystic experience is that there are three types of experiences. That is that that sometimes you can have the feeling that when you walk in the park or something like that the boundaries of yourself solve in a way of speaking, and that you feel that you're becoming one with mm-hmm. with the nature and everything that is surrounding you.
Mm-hmm.
That is what sometimes is called first level, is not because it looks so judgmental, but that's one way of experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Another way is that that you have an experience more on the inside of yourself, and that you come to a deeper level of yourself. And what I prefer to call that is that you become aware of a part of your personality that is not created by yourself.
Mm.
And mm-hmm. maybe that is what we call spirit normally.
Mm. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a very good point.
That's a little bit different experience than the first one that I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one is where your personality become a little bit out of the center of the experience, so that a certain kind of space emerges where a divine power can take over. And that is not something that you do by yourself, but that is something that happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you feel like it's spontaneous?
What did you say?
Do you feel like it's spontaneous?
You this, feel like...
When something else takes over?
No.
No.
Well, spontaneous in a way that at some point it is there.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. It just happens. Uh-huh. Great. We'll be back after this break. Oh, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Yo-Yan Yonker on Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened Media for a Transforming World. Seventh Wave Network.
Kerry O'Connor has a powerful and extraordinary connection with spirit. This connection has honed and perfected her astounding clairvoyant abilities. Kerry can energetically view your personal life history, observe your true inner processes, and help attune and direct your soul's purpose. Kerry's dedicated mission is to remind you of your divine heritage, to help you step out of your stories and step into your power. Tune in to the Kerry O'Connor Show every Thursday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific on the Seventh Wave Network. The Waking Dream is a wake-up call to those who are finally ready to change the direction of their lives and the quality of their experiences. Join host Barbara Emrys every Tuesday evening at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern, for your wake-up call. That's The Waking Dream on the Seventh Wave Network.
Once upon a time, there lived three energy hogs. Now, an energy hog is what you have when humans waste energy. One day, the three energy hogs set out to find themselves a cottage.
Let's look for leaky windows,
said the first energy hog, for he knew that would waste energy.
Let's look for leaky doors,
said the second.
Let's look for a swing set,
said the third, for he had more blubber than brains. So they set off down the road. Presently, they came upon a tiny cottage where dwelt a clever girl named Dreadylocks.
I hope it has leaky windows,
cried the first energy hog.
I hope it has leaky doors,
cried the second.
I hope it has a bathroom,
cried the third, for only his brains were smaller than his bladder. But Dreadylocks liked playing cool games at energyhog.org, and from energyhog.org she learned how to use energy wisely. So the three energy hogs were forced to look elsewhere to waste energy, and had to use the disgusting restroom at the gas station down the road. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org or waste not, hog not.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I have with me today Yo-Yo Nyoker, who is a student at a university in Nijmegen in a spirituality degree that he's doing. And from this, it sounds like you're just totally compatible with this particular education because I see that it fits how your mind works and comes out with all these wonderful structures that I can see where these questions arise in me and how, you know, there are just different levels of questions that are so important to understand because the characteristics of one level are not necessarily the characteristics of another level. Are you following me, Yo-Yong?
I am following you, and I'm listening.
Oh, I see.
Oh, first listening, then following. In that order.
So, you know, for me, for instance, this whole idea about Reiki in general, being a mystic order, you know, at this point I'm going, well, is it? And I don't think I've ever allowed myself to actually question that because in my personal experience, I have had mystic experiences, what I call mystic experiences, of all three different categories of mystic experience that you talked about earlier before the break. And
wonderful.
In that, you know, I take my personal experience to Reiki and then to the general. But what you're asking me, if I can understand this correctly, is my personal experience actually only my personal experience, or can it be generalized to Reiki as a whole? And also then to a general thing, are human beings actually inherently mystic?
Yeah, that is precisely what I'm that I was talking about and what I'm trying to do, because we can stay within our own Reiki community and then define something for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
we also live in the rest of the world where maybe they have other frameworks of thinking and definitions
mm-hmm.
of what is
mm-hmm.
going on. And what I like to do, what I need to do for myself at least, is to make some connections between what I experience with Reiki and what is described in the outside world.
Mm-hmm.
So, and to phrase it in other words, are we talking about the same things?
Right.
That's what I do. And that's why I try to tackle this whole problem from the outside inwards
mm-hmm.
and from inside outwards,
mm-hmm.
and I hope that from outside inwards it starts on a general level towards me, and I hope that somewhere in the middle is Reiki, and from inwards to the outside, I start with myself, going to a general level. And also I hope to that somewhere in the middle I can discover Reiki
mm-hmm.
or my Reiki experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And a second reason why I think that it is, that in my opinion, it is important is that as a school of spirituality, you can consider Reiki as a certain school of spirituality, we also have a development. And there are some stages to be recognized within the development of schools of Reiki, of schools of spirituality, I'm sorry. And one of them is that at some point there is some period of conceptualization. And I think that we are now in the middle of this phase of conceptualization to describe and to define from what exactly is Reiki as spirituality. And therefore also I think that it is important for the Reiki community to think about these questions for themselves and with each other. What we are doing and where do we come from and where are we going to? To answer the question from where are we going to,
mm-hmm.
we first need to know where we are standing now.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, one of the great blessings of this practice, and also one of the one of the blind spots of the practice, is that because our I think in general, because our lives have changed individually so much through our practice of Reiki, and I would say this again in another way, because the veils have been lifted from our eyes individually so much through the practice of Reiki, and I will say it again in a different way, because we see the world so differently after we practice Reiki, that we assume that all of this is because of Reiki.
Yeah.
And I think that assumption, though it's a lovely assumption, and I personally hold it as my truth, I think it's very good to question it. And this is what brings this up for me and this stimulating me, is do I assume that this is Reiki, and what is Reiki? If Reiki is exactly universal life energy, then aren't we just speaking about the unveiling of us as an authentic human being, as an authentic individual? Or, you know, so there are lots of philosophic kinds of questions that kind of, come up to really talk about. And I think that it's very difficult for people sometimes to let go of their attachment that this might not be about Reiki, but might just be about the unveiling of our own eyes.
Yeah, that is possible. And I personally think that these are very good questions, and I thank you for it that you bring them up. And maybe you've also noticed, because I've noticed in my own situation here, that when I start discussions like this, some people feel almost attacked
mm-hmm.
in the holiness of Reiki,
mm-hmm.
something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And what I try to do is just to be as open as possible to approach these things.
Mm-hmm.
And why I like these questions, I think it's necessary to ask these questions and to find an answer for it in being a mature spirituality.
Mm-hmm. Or for Reiki to be a mature spiritual, mm-hmm. or
practice.
For us as human beings, individuals, to be mature spiritually.
That's very good said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's a very interesting question, because I don't really know the answer. It's another one of these kind of holographic things that you've introduced into my way of thinking in this moment about, you know, can I project what I feel, like I feel like Reiki is my spiritual practice, but
yeah.
Can I project this as, is Reiki a spiritual practice?
Yeah.
And this is what a lot of controversy is now about. You know, and then the next projection is, you know, are we spiritual beings? Amazing questions, not very many answers, thank God. because I feel like we're down to the nitty-gritty. Yo-Yun, the show is finished now. Our time is up, and I need to say goodbye. Thank you so much for coming.
Well, thank you for your invitation.
Oh, you're welcome. And for you listeners, I just want you to know that this conversation is not complete, and I will have Yo-Yun back on the show about this very topic later on. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.